This podcast of the Weekend Stakes Preview is brought to you by Barbados Tourism. The Weekend Stakes Preview starts in just 15 seconds after this word from our podcast sponsor.
If you've been waiting to discover that spot where peace of mind meets the time of your life, then it sounds like you've been waiting on Barbados. From the majesty of horse racing and polo to the thrill of surfing our playful waves, visit jetblue.com/Barbados for special vacation packages.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're letting out all stops, coming to the top of the stretch. Pleasantly Perfect, catapulting past horses on the far outside. As the field turns for home, Ghost Zephyr has now shrugged off Roses in May. Pleasantly Perfect continues to rally down the center of the track. Azuri doing her best, but she's now fifth. In between horses, Perfect Drift. Ghost Zephyr kicking clear. Zephyr is pulling away impressively. And a pumped-up Javier Castellano, they have soundly defeated Roses in May. Pleasantly Perfect was a well-beaten third. Perfect Drift was fourth.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman.
Good evening and welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with Dave Friedman. We've got a dozen races from around North America to talk about this evening, including some monster cards, Dave, at the end of the meets at both Oaklawn Park and Gulfstream.
Yeah, it's a great weekend of racing. There are big-time cards at both of those tracks, but there's good racing around the country. This is the time it really gets going. These primary prep races for the Kentucky Derby, the calendar turns. You can almost feel it coming.
Folks, we're excited to announce that beginning next Friday, April 7th, our Weekend Stakes Preview show will have a brand new sponsor with exciting offers and promotions for horse players. Join us for the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern right here, Sirius 216 and XM 204. You can also listen to the show every Friday with our live streaming at horseracingradio.net. Or listen to podcasts of the show each week on our site and every major podcast platform. You can go to amwager.com to sign up for an account, learn more about their wagering platform, and be sure to join us next Friday, April 7th, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, for the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview right here on HRRN. All right, Dave, so let's dive right into the Gulfstream card. They've got stakes galore on a 14-race card. And I know they race year-round at Gulfstream, but Florida Derby weekend is traditionally the end of the championship meet. We're going to look at the five graded stakes that they have scheduled tomorrow, the first of which is their fifth race, goes at 1:26 Eastern time, and it is the Grade 2 Pan American. This is a race for four-year-olds and up, going a mile and a half on the turf. We've got a field of eight, Dave. And the morning line favorite is number three, Masterpiece, coming off a nice third in the McDermott.
Yeah, there are only two horses in here who have won graded stakes races, and Masterpiece is the class of this field. I'm a little, but not a lot, concerned about the distance. Masterpiece is 0 for 3, going a mile and a half. For those who listen to this show regularly, I think three-turn racing is very different than two-turn and one-turn racing. It's really a niche. And Masterpiece has not done great in three-turn racing. That being said, the quality of opponents that Masterpiece has faced when going a mile and a half is really significantly better than he's going to see on Saturday. Last time out, I thought that was a very credible race, a third place performance at 4-1 in a Grade 2 stakes at Gulfstream. This is a horse that makes sense in here. I think he is the most likely winner in here. It's not going to be my pick because I think there are a couple of other alternatives, but if you single Masterpiece or you think Masterpiece is the winner, absolutely, makes complete sense. I'm going to use Masterpiece. I think Therapist is not out of the realm of possibilities for Mike Maker and Irad Ortiz and Michael Dubb. I don't know about the distance, but there is back class, and I think the 8-1 morning line is interesting. I don't love that it's an 8-year-old, and you have to go back a long time to find Therapist. Therapist's best race. But the bottom line is the recent race from Therapist put the horse very much in the race. And if you get just a little improvement, maybe you get a win at a big price. My choice, though, is Aban, number 7 for Todd Pletcher and Joel Rosario. This is the only horse that's won at the distance. And while the record doesn't look tremendous, it's 1 win in 4 starts and 2 second-place performances. There's just no one else in here that is tested at 1.5 miles. And this is a horse that's done it 4 times and 3 times been first or second. The recent form is not particularly good. I don't know that I have an excuse for last time out, but this is a horse that likes Gulfstream Park more often than not and likes long distance racing. You got to go back, I don't know, 6-8 months to find a race that's probably a winner tomorrow, but at 5-1, I'm willing to take that price. When I looked at this race originally, Bobby, I said I needed 4-1 to choose number 7. The 5-1 morning line justifies the price to me.
Okay, Aban is 5-1. He's probably the lone speed in the race, but as you mentioned, his recent form isn't very good. In fact, his last 4 starts, he's shown speed and just been nowhere at the time they got to the wire. He was supposed to run in the Kentucky Cup Classic on the synthetic surface at Turfway last weekend, but they scratched, opting for this spot instead. Maybe seeing the field, because they enter a week out at Gulfstream Park, so maybe they saw the field and decided, you know, hey, we're the only speed there, so we're going to run there. I think Masterpiece is a better horse, though. His recent form, even though I don't think it's his best form, is still way better than Aban's recent form. I know Aban is capable, or at least at one point was capable, of taking this field wire to wire. I don't know if he is anymore. I'm going to use him, but I'm going to put Masterpiece on top. I trust him a little bit more. I don't want 7-5, but I think he's the likely winner of the Pan American. Race 7 at Gulfstream tomorrow is the Grade 3 Ghost Sapper for 4-year-olds and up, going 1 1/16 miles on the main track. Pretty good field coming together in this 7th race. I don't think any of them are reminding us of Ghost Sapper yet. And that was a great call, of course, of Tom Durkin of the 2004 Breeders' Cup Classic, where Ghost Sapper got the job done to open up the show. But this is a tough race to handicap, Dave. It's just a field of 7, but there are some question marks in the field, including the favorite number 5, First Captain, and 3-1 third choice, O'Connor, horses who have shown capability, but their last races were awful.
Yeah, those two in simplification to me make the most sense, but you can open it up and make some other choices. Let me ask you this. Do you see the speed in here? Who is going to the lead in this race?
Well, I think number 1, Surly Furious, is going to the lead. But the question is, do you think he's good enough to beat this field? I don't think he is.
I don't either, but he is getting a large jockey upgrade, and if he's loose on the lead, boy, you never know. I think it comes down to simplification and O'Connor and First Captain. First Captain and O'Connor, as you mentioned, are coming off really ugly efforts. Now, I think they probably are against better competition. O'Connor ran against Art Collector and Defunded in the Pegasus, and First Captain ran against West Willpower and Folsom and Last Samurai in the Fayette. Long layoff for First Captain, and what Shug McGahee does not generally do great is have them firing their best first time back. I went with First Captain, but I think it's a real pick'em among those three horses. Simplification is another one, not running his best right now, but we certainly have past form that would make him very much a factor in this race. This is not my favorite race because I think there's the speed question. I'm going to have to use 3 of them. All 3 are low-priced horses. It's a race to some degree I'm trying to avoid.
Yeah, it's a race I'd probably spread, and maybe even more than just those 3. I might even use Surly Furious just on a few very minor tickets for the small, you know, chance that he gets out in front and they don't bother him until they get to, you know, the 3/8 bowl and he has plenty left. I think number 4, O'Connor, is the best horse if he runs his race. his first race in the country, I think, would bury this field. Then he came back as the big favorite in the Harlan's Holiday, and he just ran so-so that day, and he was awful from the 12 hole, going a mile and an eighth in the Pegasus, and it may just been one of those things that not only didn't he run very well, but breaking from the 12 hole, you got to be at your best to have any chance to win, and we're going to see that in the Florida Derby later on in tomorrow's card. So I think it was an excuse for O'Connor last time out. I'm going to draw a line through that race. His previous starts, I think, make him the one to beat, and he's 3-1 on the morning line, so I'm going to put him on top in the Ghost Sapper. Eighth race tomorrow at Gulfstream is the Grade 3 Orchid for the fillies and mares, going a mile and a half on the turf. We've got a short but sweet field of eight, and Clement's got two fillies in here, or rather one filly, one mare, shipping in from across the pond that both look like they have shots, Dave. Number 5, Amazing Grace, and the 8, Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, I don't think the morning line is correct in this race. Amazing Grace ran against Atomic Bomb, the two Clement horses, back in September. And Amazing Grace was 5-2 and won by a length and a half. And Atomic Bomb was 13-1 and finished third, 2.25 lengths behind the winner. And I think those are the two best horses in here. And I think Amazing Grace is going to win, and perhaps easily. And I don't think you're going to have value. I think Amazing Grace is going off at somewhere in the neighborhood of 8-5. Last time out, she ran against Boys. You may know the boy that won the race, Rebel's Romance. She finished third, beaten by only 3 lengths. When she faced Girls in September, she won. She faced Boys in a Group 1 event in Munich in July, just missed by 3/4 of a length at 7-1, faced Girls in Germany in June and won. I think Amazing Grace against female competition in the United States, quite frankly, is a little bit of a mismatch. And that's not to take away from Personal Best and Transient, who I think are nice horses. And if Amazing Grace doesn't show up, doesn't like the track, didn't ship well, any of those sort of things, they're very much in the mix, right along with Atomic Blonde. I just think Amazing Grace towers over this field.
So do I. And at 5-2, I would run to the window. I think she's a single in any horizontal play. And I would be more interested in seeing a price of Amazing Grace if she were facing somebody like Warlike Goddess in this race. But the competition doesn't seem like Warlike Goddess in here. And like you were saying, Transient and Personal Best are some nice fillies. I don't think they're close to what Amazing Grace is if she runs her race. And let's face it, Clement does very well with these first-timers into the U.S. and these extended layoff runners, winning at about a 20% clip in each of those categories. I expect her to fire a big shot with Joel Rosario aboard. Amazing Grace for both Dave and myself in the Grade 3 Orchid. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got the Gulfstream Park Oaks as well as the Florida Derby to look at, and we'll dive into that Oaklawn card. They've got 4 stakes tomorrow in Hot Springs. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
There's plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park during the championship meet with live racing Wednesday through Sunday. Don't miss the Triple Crown prep races, including the Fountain of Youth Stakes on March 4th and the Florida Derby Saturday, April 1st. Enjoy the races outdoors from the Carousel Club, our Feast in 10 Palms, offering a premium view of the races. For stake schedules, reservations, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst and cancer champion Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. Join our team to help fund game-changing research that saves lives. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over the odds. V is for victory over health disparities. Victory over setbacks. Victory over the unknown. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate to the V Foundation to join our team and help save lives.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul.
100% of donations fund game-changing cancer research. Donate now to the V Foundation at V.org.
Hey, everyone. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch here. Be sure to join me tomorrow morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, on the Equine Forum presented by Twin Spires as I look ahead to the Florida Derby and the Arkansas Derby, plus Keeneland's opening weekend. That's all tomorrow on the Equine Forum presented by Twin Spires, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, Sirius 216, XM 204, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
The rest not of consequence with 5/16 to run. On the outside, Tiz the Law bids up boldly now to challenge FD Indian for the top. Chivalry at a huge number cuts the corner and tries to fight on. Gouverneur Morris is loose and charging on the far outside. Less than a quarter of a mile to go. Manny Franco sets down Tiz the Law and he's moving away. Chivalry is now outrunning FD Indian for second. Gouverneur Morris is now fourth. Less than a 16th to go in the Florida Derby, and it's time to respect the law. Tiz the Law is your Florida Derby winner. He won by three over Chivalry second, Ette Indian third, then Gouverneur Morris and Independence Hall to complete the high five in 150 flat.
Pete Aiello on the call. 2020 was the year the Grade One Florida Derby won by Tiz the Law. Owned by Saratoga Stable. Of course, they also owned Funny Side, who won the Kentucky Derby 20 years ago. Actually going to see Jack Knowlton of Saratoga Stable tomorrow at Gulfstream Park. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with Dave Friedman. Before we get back to the handicapping, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Kentucky to add sports wagering as Senate approves bill. In a bit of a surprise for the 2023 legislative session, Kentucky lawmakers have approved a bill that will allow wagering on sports in the state. Based on numerous posts on Twitter by media and lawmakers documenting the final vote, Kentucky Senate approved a sports wagering bill by a 25-12 margin. In the Senate, the bill had widespread support from Democrats and found enough support from Republicans. Bill, House Bill 551, had passed the House by a 63-34 margin on March 15th. Governor Andy Beshear, a Democrat, is expected to sign the legislation into law. The legislation will legalize gambling on live professional and amateur sporting events and will require online gaming providers to associate with a Kentucky racetrack. With the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission serving as regulator, wagers could be placed at a licensed facility or online through a website or mobile app. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Follow the road to the Kentucky Derby, plus have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day or delivered daily in an email. Both are free. Blood Horse Daily has the largest reach of any industry electronic newsletter or app. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up now. Dave, our friends in Kentucky are probably saying it's about time, but the truth is that it seems like every state surrounding Kentucky already has sports wagering, so maybe it was more a when, not if, that it got passed.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the people that probably listen to this show may dabble with sports betting, and seems like it's probably a good opportunity, particularly for a state where a lot of that money was simply going out of state. People were still doing it. They just weren't able to do it from their home.
Yeah, and I'm sure the folks that like betting sports who live in Kentucky can't wait for this to become a reality. All right, let's get back to the big racing over the weekend. We're going to go to race 12 tomorrow at Gulfstream Park. And this is the Grade 2 $250,000 Gulfstream Park Oaks, a mile and a 16th on the main track for the three-year-old fillies. Field of eight going to post here, Dave. Morning line favorite is number 5, Miracle, who ran second in the Rachel Alexander at Fairgrounds in her most recent start. But on paper, this looks like a very evenly matched field.
Yeah, I got no idea. I mean, Miracle last time out ran against horses that we thought were good. Pretty Mischievous and Hoosier Filly, and then they didn't run very well last week. Miracle's only win came against state-bred maidens at Saratoga in July. Todd and Irad and Windstar, certainly possible. I feel like you can say that about most of the horses in here. I picked Atomically. I don't love Atomically. Florida bred, daughter of Gervin, second off a layoff, last time out going one turn, didn't run particularly well. I think the races at Gulfstream back last fall and winter were relatively good. Got bad in the Breeders' Cup, didn't run great. This is one of those races where I dislike a lot more than I like. Darth Vader looks to me to be a one-turn horse. Well, they're running two turns tomorrow. I came pretty close to trying to pick kind of like a Sacred Wish who has just one win and two starts, but I have no idea if Sacred Wish is going to like two turns or Affirmative Lady. Blinks Go On for Graham Motion has only beaten maidens. I'm going to need to use a whole bunch of them in here, Bobby.
Okay, I don't have a big idea either, other than I don't want to take a short price on anybody in this field. I'm going to try number two, Infinite Diamond, simply because I was hesitant to use her in the Devona Dale because I don't love playing 2 or 3 year old fillies coming off significantly the best race of their lives, and I think that's what we saw in the cash run January 1st at Gulfstream. So she came back, albeit off a two-month rest in the Devona Dale, and she was kind of a non-menacing fourth that day. I think she's capable of much better than what she showed last time out, and the race she ran in the cash run is as good, if not better, than anyone else in this field. She's going to be a good price. She's 6-1 on the morning line. So just a little bit of a lean toward Infinite Diamond. But like you, Dave, this might be an all-button press for me if I'm playing late pick fours, pick fives, things like that. Moving to the featured event, not only of the day, but of the meet at Gulfstream Park. Race 14 tomorrow is the Grade $1 Million Florida Derby. Three-year-olds going a mile and an eighth on the main track. There are 200 Kentucky Derby qualifying points on the line. The winner gets 100, runner-up gets 40, and then on down. So basically, the top two finishers in this race will automatically have bids into this year's Kentucky Derby. A horse who doesn't have to worry about that, but is obviously going to be trying to win, is last year's two-year-old champ, Forte. Unfortunately for Forte, he drew the 11 hole in a 12-horse field with a very short run to the first turn, Dave. Being on the outside, going a mile and an eighth on the dirt at Gulfstream over the years has not been very good.
Forte is 5-for-6 with $1.8 million earnings and 4 stakes wins. The rest of the field is 14-for-47 with $870,000 of earnings and 1 stakes win. Forte's got a crummy post. Forte doesn't need to win the race. Forte's better than these horses. Now, could someone run the best race of their career? Could Forte run a B-minus race? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are other capable horses. There are horses that are going to come out of this race and run in the Kentucky Derby. But you can make an argument that the second best option in here is Mage, who last time out lost to Forte by 6 3/4 lengths. Yeah, Mage had some trouble in that race. It was only the second career race. I actually thought it was a really good effort. But making up 6 3/4 lengths, that's an awful lot. Fort Bragg was in Baffert's barn and now is being handled by Tim Yakteen. Practical Move looks like a good one. That's who Fort Bragg has raced against the last two times. I thought Fort Bragg was going to win the Sunland Derby on Sunday, but he opted to come to Kentucky, where I more or less think he's running for second place, and he very, very well may do that. The couple of Safi Joseph horses who have just beaten maiden look capable. They were bought for a whole bunch of money. They're absolutely huge prices. They've never gone two turns. Cyclone Mischief has run a couple of good ones, was no match for Forte. Has run against good horses, but I just don't see any reason to bet against Forte. He's 4-5 in here. I think he's going off at 2-5. He looks like the easiest winner on the card. Is he going to win? Does he need to win? I don't know, but I mean, I don't know how you can say you think there is someone that has a better chance of winning the race.
No, I think if you're trying to beat Forte, you're thinking either one, he's just not going to run his race tomorrow, or two, That post is going to hurt him a lot more than people expect. You know, it could hurt him four or five lengths. And if that happens, if with a little improvement maybe from someone else, they would have a chance to beat him. I don't think they're going to beat Forte. If I play the race, which is a very big if, I may just be a fan for this race. It would probably be the rare vertical plays for me where I try to get either Mage or maybe even one of those Safi Josephs like Nautical Star underneath second or third in exactas or trifectas because they're both double. There's not much money to be made if I'm playing Forte to beat Fort Bragg or Forte to beat WNL. That's very, very short. So I would try Mage or Nautical Star underneath. But like you, Dave, I think Forte is the goods. I think he very likely will win and very likely will be the favorite in this year's Kentucky Derby. Let's jump over to Hot Springs, Arkansas. They have four stakes on their Arkansas Derby card tomorrow, the first of which is race number five, and this is the Grade 3 Oaklawn Mile. $400,000 on the line for the four-year-olds and up. Of course, it is a two-turn mile at Oaklawn Park. Field of seven going to post here. And morning line favorite is number seven, Hopper, shipping in for Bob Baffert.
Yeah, Hopper is a grade three winner that came as a three-year-old last year. The two races this year, second in a grade two at Santa Anita and kind of ran out of gas going a mile and a quarter against Stiletto Boy and good older horses last time, grade one at Santa Anita. And makes sense here, cutting back to a mile. Blinkers come off for Baffert, and that has been a really good move for him over the years. Number one, Smile Happy, won last time out in the slop, beat much lesser in that race, now is cutting back in distance and gets fast conditions. I think there are a lot of questions. I don't think Smile Happy beat a ton last time out. I think it's possible that this is a horse that likes the off going, and I don't understand the cutback. I mean, this is a capable horse, but he seems to run well going a mile and an eighth, a mile and a 16th, maybe even a mile and a quarter. I don't really understand why they're going back to a mile, but I respect Smile Happy's talent, and I think he makes some sense. Looking at a little bigger price, Silver Prospector, number four. I just wonder if he's better in wet than he is in dry conditions. But boy, his best races certainly fit with this group. And Caddo River, this is a horse that, boy, when he runs well, he runs really, really well. I don't like the trainer change. Has never really beaten quite this type, but he's capable. I picked Hopper. I just think Hopper is the most likely winner.
All right. I kind of ended up on Smile Happy with same theory as you. I just think he's the most likely winner. I like the fact that he's won over the track. I don't think he has to have a wet surface to run his good races. And this was, I think, the horse last year early on, at the end of his two-year-old year, early three-year-old year, that maybe was leading the way. Remember, there was a point sometime early in 2022 where articles were coming out basically saying, you know, that Kenny McPeak may have four or five horses for the Kentucky Derby this year. It doesn't always work out quite that way. But I think Smile Happy at that time was the leading contender of the Kenny McPeak runners. So they always thought this horse was a nice horse. I don't love the short layoff, but I think he's capable. I love the inside post. I'm going to take Smile Happy at 9-5 to win the Oaklawn Mile. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got three more stakes tomorrow in Hot Springs to talk about, including the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Parenting is hard. Technology can make it harder. The Family Media Plan developed by the American Academy of Pediatrics helps make it easier. Go to healthychildren.org/media plan to create the media plan that's right for your family. Whether you make a full plan or just choose a few parts that matter the most to your family, healthychildren.org/media plan is an easy-to-use tool that will help your family set media priorities and create healthy digital habits in line with your family's values. You'll also get practical tips to help make the plan work. And you can come back to revise your plan as often as you need to, like at the beginning of each school year or during summer and holiday breaks. Raising kids in the age of screens is easier when you have a plan. Go to healthychildren.org/media plan and make your plan today.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Tom Fool. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 216 or XM 204, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
And here they come into the stretch of the Arkansas Derby with Curlin taking the lead. Here comes Flying First Class to the outside. Deadly Dealer is still there in third. They straighten for the run. It is Curlin leading the way on the inside, Storm in May. Flying First Class is there with Deadly Dealer. They're driving for the wire, but Curlin is on his way. He's got an engagement for the Triple Crown races. Curlin is going to decimate this field, winning the Arkansas Derby by 9 lengths. Storm in May second, Deadly Dealer third, close for fourth between Delightful Kiss and Going Ballistic. 1:50 for the mile and eighth.
Curlin, very impressive. This guy now three.
I agree. Curlin was very impressive, and that was Terry Wallace on the call back in 2007 of what then was the Grade II Arkansas Derby. Curlin decimating the field, in Terry's words, and getting the job done in the Arkansas Derby. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman. All right, Dave, let's get back to this big card at Oaklawn
tomorrow. Curlin, I'll pick Curlin in all the remaining races.
You're going to pick Curlin in all the remaining? Is that
yeah,
what you
any
said?
Race that Curlin is in. He dominated that one. He'll dominate all the other ones. Curlin's one of my favorites. Anything we say positive about Curlin, I'm in on that.
And by the way, he's also one of the top stallions in the country year after year.
Very true.
So how about that? His game just keeps on going. Well, let's go to the eighth race tomorrow at Oaklawn Park. This is the Hot Spring Stakes. Now, the Hot Spring Stakes for many, many years was a sprint race for older horses at Oaklawn. And in fact, it was won 4 years in a row by Whitmore, and they renamed it the Whitmore. And it was a graded stake that was run a couple of weeks ago. But now they've brought the Hot Springs back, and it's a two-turn mile race for three-year-olds with a nice purse of $200,000. So these are horses that are good, but maybe not quite at the level that they're good enough to compete in the Arkansas Derby later on in the card. Seven of them coming together for the Hot Spring Stakes. And morning line favorite is number two, Eyeing Clover, horse who was actually favored in the Grade 3 Gotham last time we saw him.
Yeah, so much of this race has to do with the conditions of the track. So Eyeing Clover ran two brilliant sprint races on fast going, one at Oaklawn and one at Fairgrounds, and was awesome. And then ran in the mud in the Gotham and was not awesome. Did beat 9 or 10 horses. It was a huge field, but was fourth, beaten by 9 lengths. Blinkers come off. Brad Cox, 10 strike racing, makes sense. But I don't know that we're convinced that Eyeing Clover is going to be a really good two-turn horse, seeing as how the only try over it didn't go so well. Though maybe there were legitimate excuses like the mud or a little bit of traffic or what have you. I have the same question about number three, Gunpilot. We saw 1 mile fast racing, and it looked pretty good at Oaklawn Park in a pair of optional claimers. Then came the Rebel, and going 1 1/16 in the slop, it didn't go good. And I don't know if that's because the competition was too good or because he didn't like the track that day. I know that Steve Asmussen and Three Chimneys produce plenty of good horses. Does Gunpilot have a reasonable excuse? I'm not sure. Number four, Cactus. Here's a horse that is 2 for 2. Both of them are sprint races. One of them came in the slop. Frosted Departure, number 5. Four of the last six are in the off-going, and the best race in there is a sprint race. I just think there are a ton of questions in here. Carmel Road for Bob Baffert didn't run great last time in the mud at Aqueduct. Go back to the races in Southern California, or the one race in Southern California in December. It was of the pretty good, not spectacular nature. And then early in the career, the three races in the fall or the late summer last year, they're kind of good, not great. I had a difficult time getting through this. I ended up on Gunpilot. I just thought the two races going two turns at Oaklawn were really good before the slop last time out. But I could see this going in a whole lot of different directions.
Do you ever handicap races, and when you get done looking at the final horse, you're just sitting there shaking your head saying, I have absolutely no idea. I can find reasons to like and dislike every horse in this race, and that's what it seems like to me. I landed on Cactus for a couple of reasons. One, he's 8-1 on the morning line. Two, aside from the fact that he's undefeated, as you said, and showed that he can handle wet or dry tracks, he's out of a Catalfa mare, which to me means at least on the dam side, he's bred to handle going further than 6 furlongs. I don't know what way to go. Maybe Iron Clover is just better than them. Carmel Road has horses like Forte and Practical Move in his past performances. They're arguably the two favorites for this year's Kentucky Derby as of right now. Maybe he's just been facing way better, and this is a good spot for him. It's a question mark for Ree. I went with Cactus because he's 8-1, and I think there's upside in the Hot Springs. Moving ahead to race 10 on the card. This is the Grade 3 Fantasy for the 3-year-old fillies, going a mile and a 16th, $600,000 on the line, as well as a whole mess of Kentucky Oaks qualifying points. We've got a field of 10, and the Honeybee winner, Wet Paint, is back to try to win her third race in a row.
Yeah, I like Wet Paint in here more because I don't really see a lot of really good options aside from her. She has run 4 consecutive good races, and 2 in particular, both at Oaklawn Park, 1 in wet, fast conditions, 1 in sloppy conditions. I thought the race last time out was just a dominating effort, and that's kind of what you've come to expect from Godolphin and Brad Cox, though this is not a really richly bred sort. Wet Paint on the track has been very good, except for the debut on turf at Kentucky Downs, and seems to be sharp right now as well. If you don't like Wet Paint, who does that leave you with? I just didn't find anyone I was jumping up and down about. I kind of figured She's Looking Lucky was the next best option, the rail horse, and she chased a decent horse last time, has been good since changing barns, but I just don't know how good she is. And I'm concerned about not having Lasix tomorrow. I just think Wet Paint is the most likely winner in here.
Yeah, I also think that there's going to be enough speed in the race to set it up for Wet Paint, and I think she's clearly the best closer in the field. I usually don't like playing runners who come from as far back in the pack as it seems like Wet Paint wants to rally from, but I mean, she's just best off dropping back and starting her run down the backstretch and weaving her way through. Flavian Pratt is aboard, who, with the exception of his ride in last weekend's Sunland Derby, is about as good as you get. And I think she'll have pace to run at Will Wet Paint. So like you, Dave, I'm going to take her. She's not going to be 8-5. She's going to be 4-5 or even money, which is probably going to make it where I'm not as much interested in betting her to win. But certainly as far as horizontal plays, I think she's a stick out in the Grade 3 Fantasy tomorrow. Featured race at Oaklawn tomorrow, and the featured race each year at Oaklawn is the Arkansas Derby. It's a Grade 1 event with a $1.25 million purse. 3-year-olds going a mile and an eighth, and of course 200 Kentucky Derby qualifying points on the line for the eligible runners. Field of 11 coming together, and a former Baffert trainee who's now in the barn of Tim Yakteen is hoping for a cleaner trip than he saw in the Rebel. That's number 8, Reincarnate. He's 5-2.
I have rewatched the Rebel a bunch of times. Red Route 1, bumps reincarnate. And I'm not entirely sure how impactful it was. Both horses made big moves late in the race. Red Route 1 wound up second, a length behind Confidence Game, and Reincarnate was third, 2.5 lengths back. I honestly don't know how good either of them are. I think they have the looks of good, maybe very good, probably not great horses. And I say that not just because of the last race, but because Red Route 1 is 1-for-7 and Reincarnate is 2-for-6. And yeah, they've run against pretty good competition. Red Route 1 in particular has seen Forte and Arabian Night and Instant Coffee. But I just am not abundantly confident in either of them, though I think they're both good and completely logical contenders. Angel of Empire for Brad Cox is a Pennsylvania bred who won last time out in the Risen Star at a big price at about 14-1 that day. 2 of 3 wins are at Horseshoe Indy, but gets Flavian Pratt and certainly can fit in here. I'd say the same for Rocket Can, for Bill Mott, who has faced Goodwin's Forte and Confidence Game and Instant Coffee in the Fountain of Youth last time out, was second, beaten by 4.5 lengths, but beat the rest of the field, and it wasn't a bad rest of the field for Rocket Can. And because I see those four horses kind of similarly, there's a fifth at a much bigger price that I see in that same realm, and that's where I went. It's 2 Eagles River for Chris Hartman, who is absolutely red hot right now. This is a horse that was bred for $5,000 and sold at auction for $220. A gelding who debuted at Churchill Downs going 5 furlongs in the slot back in October and 1 going away. Ran a couple of okay sprints, 1 at Churchill and 1 at Oaklawn. And then 2 back at Oaklawn and an optional claimer, was bothered early and then was rank for the first, I don't know, let's call it 20% of the race. Last time out really seemed to figure it out and absolutely blew away what I thought was a pretty decent $100,000 optional claiming group. Maybe it was just playing to the track bias that 2 Eagles River was on the lead and cruised home, but I thought that was just as impressive as what anyone else has done in here, and at 10-1, I couldn't resist.
All right, 2 Eagles River for Dave in the Arkansas Derby. I go with the 7 Rocket Can. It's very simple handicapping for me. Horse who is easily favored in most people's eyes for this year's Kentucky Derby right now is Forte, and Rocket Can was good enough to be second to him last time out in the Fountain of Youth, while clearly best of the rest that day. He has 40 points already, so he may already have enough to get into the Kentucky Derby. Even a fifth-place finish in the Arkansas Derby probably seals the deal for Rocket Can. But I liked what I saw from his second-place finish last time out. I think there's every reason to think that he can continue to improve. By the way, no knocks on Reincarnate or Red Route 1 horses like that, although I do think that the day they ran in the Rebel, horses coming from off the pace really had an advantage that afternoon. In that race, it seemed to almost completely fall apart. And that's, I think, one of the things people are saying about Reincarnate. Not so much that he got bumped so hard by Red Route Run, but that Reincarnate in his previous 5 starts had been a horse that was either on the lead or attending the pace, and he was just nowhere in the early going. And even though the bias kind of favored the horses coming from off the base, you know, Reincarnate being 11 lengths back at the first call when he had never been worse than 3rd at the first call in his first 5 races, I think was a totally different thing. So I'm guessing the strategy for Reincarnate is to get him out and get him at least in the race early instead of having to pass the entire field. But like you, Dave, I'm going to pick against him. I'm going to Rocket Can. You're going to 2 Eagles River in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we've got a stake at Aqueduct tomorrow. We've got a stake at Santa Anita both tomorrow and Sunday. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
My battle buddies and I attended the NHL Stadium Series at Yankee Stadium. We had never been there before, and 2 of us had never seen a hockey game. Man, we had the time of our lives. It was great therapy. Ventix, We can't thank you enough.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, motorsports, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can help. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Find out how by visiting www.vettix.org. That's www.vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Hey everyone, Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch here with some exciting news. Beginning next Friday, our Weekend Stakes preview show will have a brand new sponsor. Join Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman for the AmWager Weekend Stakes preview every single Friday from 6 to 7 Eastern right here on Sirius 216 XM 204. You can also stream the show at horseracingradio.net or check it out on the podcast on our website and every major podcast platform. It's the AmWager Weekend Stakes preview starting next Friday, 6 to 7 Eastern. Here on HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Smart and Sharp, right there toward the inside, is racing in third position. Star Trek behind a wall of horses is now racing in fourth. The filly Royal Heroine is making her run now on the outside, and Lear Fan has dropped back. They're coming to the final 16th of a mile. Royal Heroine sweeping to the lead from the outside. Cozine is now second. Tights is making a late run, and they're coming to the finish. Royal Heroine, a host of others closing in, but here's the wire, and Royal Heroine has won it. Royal Heroine under expert handling by the bull, Fernando Toro, another win on the Hollywood Park Turf Course.
That was Tom Durkin on the call of the first ever Breeders' Cup Mile held in 1984 at Hollywood Park. Fernando Toro aboard the great filly Royal Heroine. She got the job done that afternoon, beating the boys and winning the Breeders' Cup Mile. And there's a stake named in her honor tomorrow at Santa Anita. Welcome back. Final segment here on the Weekend Stakes Preview. Still three races to look at. We're going to head to Aqueduct next day. Featured race tomorrow is race number 8. It's the Excelsior. These are four-year-olds and up, going to go a mile and an eighth on the main track. And the purse here is $125,000. Field of 7 coming together for the Excelsior. And number 2, Law Professor, is 7-5 on the morning line.
Yeah, I like Law Professor for a couple different reasons. I don't think there is a ton of speed in here. And I think Law Professor is going to be near or maybe even on a tepid pace. And Law Professor is coming out of the best race, and it's also a key race, the Razorback, in which Last Samurai and West Willpower both came back to win out of it. Grade 2 winner, Law Professor's two-back race at Aqueduct really looks very, very similar to this one, and it's a race that at even money, Law Professor won by more than 7 lengths. I think Law Professor's really, really logical. Not a huge standout, but the most likely winner. I am going to dabble with number 5, Keystone Field. I'm not sure what happened last time out. I don't know if that was just Keystone Field being outclassed in that same race against Last Samurai and West Willpower and Law Professor, or if something went bad. But Keystone Field has the look of a horse that if that was just a toss-out, the rest of the races, particularly the one immediately before that in January at Oaklawn, would fit pretty nicely. Now, it's an 8-year-old, and you're kind of asking him to run one of his best career races, which may be not realistic, probably stepping up in class from where Keystone Field has generally done his best work. But the race 2 back is really, really quite good. And at a price, I'm going to dabble a little bit. The other one is Miles D for Chad Brown. This is the right level. It's a good distance. He fits very nicely in here. It's a little bit of a step up, but not a big one. Miles D is certainly a player in here, but I think Law Professor probably is the most likely winner.
All right, I'm going to pick the horse that you're dabbling with on top, and that's Keystone Field. I actually liked him. He was supposed to run 2 weeks ago in the Essex Stakes at Oaklawn, and it was the same thing where you kind of think if he can throw his last race out, his previous 3 or 4 starts all put him right there, if not make him the horse to beat. I have no idea what happened to him in the Razorback, and I don't know why he decided not to run in the Essex and run in the Excelsior instead, but it looked like he worked instead of ran that weekend that I was there, and he's worked again in New York since then. 6-1 on the morning line. If you draw a line through his last race, he's every bit as good as anybody else in this field. So Keystone Field for me in tomorrow's Excelsior Stakes at Aqueduct. Featured race tomorrow, as I mentioned, at Santa Anita is the Grade 2 Royal Heroine. Fillies and mares going 1 mile on the turf. Six of them going to post in the Royal Heroine, Dave, and the 2-1 choice is number 3, Closing Remarks.
Yeah, I have a difficult time in here distinguishing between 1, School Dance, 3, Closing Remarks, and 4, Nadette. They all ran against each other in the Buena Vista on March 4th. They were all about the same price. Nadette was 5-1, and School Dance was 5.5-1, and Closing Remarks was 6.5-1, and they all finished within like half a length of each other. So it's very difficult to distinguish. It was kind of a blanket finish among those horses. Now, Closing Remarks had the most difficult trip. I do think there's going to be more pace in this race than there was in that one, and that should help Closing Remarks too. But because those three horses are so similar, I went looking for something else. How do you think we pronounce number 6, the name, Bobby?
I'm going with Seisai.
Okay, I picked Seisai for John Sadler, first time in North America. Cut back off a layoff, first as a 4-year-old, I think should fit nicely here. I have mixed feelings about his or her European form. The last two are not great, but were against better. The previous races where she was very competitive, I don't know if those were elite, great fields, but I don't think she's facing monsters here, and I'm going to go in that direction.
So am I. There's nothing about the other five in here that makes my toes tingle, and I would have to think that the group races that Seisai was running in across the pond, mainly in Ireland, are better than what she is going to see tomorrow in the Royal Heroine. So we're going to try her on top. John Sadler does not really have a lot of horses shipping from other countries to the U.S., and when he does, this is not his best category, but I think this is one of the chances that he has to get to the winner's circle. Seisai for both Dave and myself in the Grade 2 Royal Heroine. Sunday at Santa Anita, the featured event is race number 7, the Grade 3 American Stakes for the 4-year-olds and up, going a mile on turf. This is a race that was supposed to have Hong Kong Henry in it, and he would have been heavily favored in the race. He ended up not entering the field, so we've got a field of 6, and it's another one that's kind of a head-scratcher.
Yeah, I kind of like number 3, Du Jour, for Bob Baffert. Last time out ran a pretty darn good second in the Kilrow Mile at Santa Anita. I think that performance, a repeat of that, would beat this group. A lot of people are going to look back at his race 2 back when he lost to number 1, Earl's Rock. Earl's Rock that day was 4-1, and Du Jour was 15-1, but that was Du Jour's first race in over a year. He ran a credible second, and then he backed it up with that big run in the Kilrow. I think Du Jour is just running very, very well right now, and I'm expecting a top-level effort. Earl's Rock, good form, beat Du Jour. Last time out for Earl's Rock hasn't been back since that February 4th race. And the race back in December is really solid, too, so it makes sense. Number 4, Exalted, is stepping up in class. But, boy, the two turf races have been terrific, so certainly deserves this opportunity. I also wondered if there could be some value on number 5, Vansy. If you toss the last one, you see a couple of races, one at Golden Gate and one at Santa Anita, that fit pretty decently in here. I just like Du Jour the best based on the last two races.
Okay, so Du Jour for Dave in the Grade 3 American. I went to number 4, Exalted. If I'm just looking at his two turf races, they look to me like they're at least as good, if not better, than anyone else. I know he's facing tougher on Sunday than what he's seen in his previous starts, but he's been beating those easier fields pretty easily, and I don't see any reason that now he can't step up to Grade 3 competition and be a major player. Exalted for me in the Grade 3 American. Folks, we're excited to announce that beginning next Friday, April 7th, our Weekend Stakes Preview show will have a brand new sponsor with exciting offers and promotions for our horse players. Join us for the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern right here on Sirius 216 and XM 204. You can also listen to the show every Friday with our live streaming at horseracingradio.net or listen to the podcast of the show each week on our site and every major podcast platform. You can go to amwager.com to sign up for an account. Learn more about their wagering platform. Be sure to join us next Friday, April 7th, from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern for the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview right here on HRRN. All right, Dave, all 12 races in the books. Time now for the HRRN Best Bets.
The HRRN Best Bet.
All right, my friend, where are you going?
The Orchid at Gulfstream. I just think Amazing Grace runs these horses off the track. And I know I'm not going to get 5-2, but if you give me 8-5, I'm still going to pound Amazing Grace. I just don't think this field is anywhere remotely close to as good. Clement has been terrific in this race. Last time out, you're talking about running third by three lengths against Rebel's Romance. Those are boys. These are lesser quality girls. I don't think it's a race.
I agree with everything you said, and I'm also going to pick Amazing Grace as my best play. I even think she's a more likely winner than Forte in the Florida Derby. Amazing Grace, listen, 5-2. Where's this fixed odds wagering that we've been hearing about for years and years and years?
Exactly.
This is where I want this immediately. I don't think that's how it works out. You don't just get whatever the morning line is, because then you'd have morning line guys and gals that are being way more under more scrutiny than they are right now. But Amazing Grace, to me, like you said, Dave, I think she is just clearly better than this field. Almost every race she runs in Europe, both France and Germany, I think is better than what the field that she's facing tomorrow can run in the Orchid. She's a single for me on every ticket horizontally on that monster card out at Gulfstream Park. Want to remind everybody, tomorrow morning, another bang-up edition of the Equine Forum presented by Twin Spires. Our good friend Mike Penna, the Baron of the Backstretch, hard at work once again from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern time. He'll be joined by Hall of Fame jockey Eddie Delahoussaye as he looks back on his memorable run through the Arkansas Derby and Kentucky Derby with Sonny's Halo about 40 years ago. Gulfstream Park analyst Ron Nicoletti handicaps Saturday's Florida Derby Day Stakes. Keeneland president Shannon Arvin looks ahead to the upcoming spring meet, which begins 1 week from today. Vance Hansen provides this week's Twin Spires triple play. Kurt Becker takes you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland, plus Calling All Three-Year-Olds presented by Spendthrift, Unsung Heroes presented by Woodbine Entertainment, and Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin debating the sport's hottest topics on I Ask, They Answer, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, all part of a monstrous Equine Forum presented by Twin Spires, rather, tomorrow morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern time. This is a question I wish Mike Penna would ask Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin. And Dale's a pretty forthcoming guy. I know that he's in the game, and, you know, he's got interest in what's going on with these Triple Crown preps and everything. But here's a question I asked James Scully last week. Going into Louisiana Derby Day, and there were 5 points qualifiers around the world. I said, is this year's Kentucky Derby winner running this weekend? And he hemmed and hawed, and he finally said no. And I happened to agree with him. So I asked him this one. Would you rather have all the horses running this weekend in the Florida Derby and Arkansas Derby as your chance to win the Kentucky Derby, or the horses running next weekend in the Santa Anita Derby, the Wood Memorial, and the Bluegrass? You can either have this weekend's two races with the heavy favorite Forte in one of them, or next weekend's three races with horses like Tap It Trice and Practical Move and others. Which way would you go, Dave?
I think Forte is going to be the biggest Kentucky Derby favorite in May, excluding the COVID year, since Rossi in the early 90s. So I would easily take this weekend. But I tell you what I'm going to do before I place any wagers, Bobby. You mentioned our new relationship with Amwager. Amwager has a technology called Form to Win. It's a free downloadable app that really can give you some interesting insights on the races. This next week or two, I'm going to be fooling around with it, trying to learn more about it, and maybe that can change my mind or help me find some winners. But no question about it, I'd be taking this weekend's crew.
All right. And by the way, that Form to Win that's available on Amwager, they are going to be giving us a player to each week starting next week on the Amwager Weekend Stakes Preview. So in addition to our handicapping, you will get the picks for some of the big races from Amwager's Form to Win. Looking forward to getting their insight as well. I think it's a tough question because obviously you get more horses next weekend with the three major stakes than the 23 that you have to choose from, but you're just going with the theory that I think you think Forte is head and shoulders the one to beat, and he's the one you want.
I think Forte's going off in the Kentucky Derby if he wins on Saturday at something around 9-5.
And well, but that doesn't mean that you pick him to win, that that's who you think's going to win. I agree that he's going to be a big favorite, especially for Kentucky Derby wise, but would you rather have all the horses running next weekend if you had to have a Kentucky Derby winner? Not who's going to be favored, but or do you want Forte and the other 22 running this weekend?
Yeah, I want Forte and everyone else running this weekend because there's some horses that can make a dent that are running this weekend as well.
Well, we're going to find out if Forte gets the job done tomorrow night at about 6:40 Eastern time in that Grade 1 Florida Derby. Of course, a great card at Oaklawn as well, highlighted by the Arkansas Derby. That's going to wrap it up tonight on the Weekend Stakes Preview. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Dave Friedman, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend at the races, everybody.